want you to open to the book of Hebrews. I'm going to focus on one verse this morning, but I do have some other verses that I'm going to go to here in a few moments. And you know, the Lord's amazing. The Lord works in mysterious ways, and the Lord never ceases to amaze me. When Tim asked me if I would be able to fill in, I jumped at the opportunity to be able to come, and I just started praying and said, Lord, just direct me to what you would have me to talk about this morning. And lo and behold, he brought me to Noah. Now, I know it was mentioned earlier, how much rain have we had in the past week or two? And my wife, she wasn't able to come with me this morning. I told her, I said, you know what? The Lord's directed me to Noah. And she's like, what? She said, are you doing this because of all the rain? I said, well, maybe, but no. But God told me this is what I needed to preach on this morning. And so I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. Now, I know I'm going to actually be reading out of the NIV, but the NASB translation is on the wall behind me. So just, and it's basically almost the same, obviously. It's God's Word. So just listen as I share this with you. Hebrews 11, verse number 7, it says this, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Let me pray for us this morning. Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you that every time we open your word, God, that you speak to us. God, we know that your word is alive, and God, it is sharper than a double-edged sword. And God, we know that when your word is proclaimed, Father God, that your word does not return void. And so, Father, I pray in these next few moments as we look at your word, God, that you would speak to us, that God, that you would challenge us, that God, that we would learn from your word, God, that you would teach us this morning what you would have us to learn. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the warmth that I feel this morning. God, I thank you for what you're doing in this church. And Father, I pray for this church today, God. I pray that as we have a time together this morning, Lord, that you would just prepare our hearts and minds for what's being said. That God, again, that you would challenge us, Lord, and that you would lead us, Father God, to do what you would have us to do. And Father, my prayers this morning is that we have come in here with a holy expectation of hearing from you. And that, God, that we would leave this place a changed people. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about lessons learned from Noah. You know what? There was a story that I heard one time, actually from a movie, Facing the Giants. Anybody ever seen that movie, Facing the Giants? Well, you know, in that movie, there's a part where there's a story told of two men who had been praying for rain. And the story says that both men, they were farmers, they went out, they needed rain, but only one man prepared his field for the rain. And the question is of the two men, which man would be more willing to accept the blessing that God would pour down on him? Obviously, it's the one that prepared for rain. I think that there's some lessons that we can learn this morning from Noah. When I read this verse, the verse is interesting here because there's a word that seems to be used over and over again, and it's that word faith. You see, the writer of Hebrews, faith is absolutely certain of what is believed is true and what is expected will come. It's not the hope which looks forward with wishful longing. It is the hope that looks forward with utter conviction. Now, let's camp right here for a second. When we think of the word faith, what do we think about? You know, faith is one of those words that I think sometimes we take it for granted. When I walk into a place such as this morning, and if I were to go and sit in that chair, you know what? I don't hesitate before I sit in that chair whether that chair is going to hold me up or not. I just assume it's going to hold me up. When I got in my car this morning to come up here, I didn't think twice about when I applied the brakes if the car would stop. I just assumed that it was going to stop. You know, one of the few times, I don't fly much, but when I do, when I get in an airplane, I mean, obviously I strap on and I pull it tight. And I just assume that, you know, that plane's going to take off, that it's going to stay in the air, that the pilot hopefully had a good night's sleep and is well rested, and that he or she knows how to land that plane. You know, I don't think twice about this, however many tons an airplane weighs, that thing flying in the air. I just assume it's going to happen. But when we talk about faith and when we talk about hope, as a Christian, it's important that we understand that the hope that we have is not a hope that looks forward with wishful thinking or with wishful longing, but it's a hope that looks forward with utter conviction. The Christian faith is a hope that has turned into certainty. You know, people can say, well, I hope that the words of the Lord are true. But you know, for the Christian, we understand that God's word is truth. And when the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life, we don't hope that that's true. We know for certain that that is true. You know, again, so many times in my ministry right now, I'm faced where I'm dealing with death each and every day. And there's a difference when I walk into the room of a believer opposed when I walk into a room or family of non-believers. You can sense it. You can feel it. You can tell that there's a difference. You can tell that when I walk into a room of a person dying who has that hope in the Lord, that he knows for the believer to be absent from the body is to be where? Present with the Lord. But when I walk into a room where there is no hope of utter conviction, there's a difference. There's an uncertainty. There's a longing, a hopefulness, saying, Lord, I've been good. Please help me. For the believer, the Christian faith is a hope that is turned into certainty. Now, in the case of Noah, as we get into a little bit of background about him, we're going to see the kind of man that Noah was and the kind of faith that he had. First of all, let me give you a little background on Noah. These are information that I'm sure you already know, but just want to remind you of a couple of things. In Genesis 6, verse 9, it says this, that Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and that he walked with God. Noah was born to the 10th generation to follow Adam, 126 years after the death of Adam. Noah's great-grandfather, Enoch, was a man of noble piety who, because of divine favor, escaped death by being translated. You remember the brief mention of Enoch in the Scripture says this. Noah's great-grandfather says, Enoch was a man who walked with God, and then he was no more. And we know that when Enoch walked with God, that God enabled him to be translated or be transfigured, if you will. Noah's grandfather, Methuselah, was the oldest person to ever live on the face of the earth. His father, who was Lamech, was a religious man who gave Noah the name which means rest. And in Genesis 5:29, about Noah, it says this, that he will comfort us in the labor and the painful toil of our hands caused by the ground, the Lord has cursed. We also come to know that Noah lived in a desperately corrupt age when men had become so universally depraved that the Lord determined to destroy the race. Now we understand that during the time that Noah lived, he lived in a corrupt society. You know what? Kind of like the way we're living now. There were different ideas, there were different thoughts. People were doing crazy things. And the Lord determined that he was going to do something about it. And in the case of Noah, he was given a strange task because he was surrounded by godless people who laughed at and thought that he had gone mad. And again, we're going to get into that here in a few minutes. Considering his surroundings and the magnitude of the work he was called to do, Noah stands unsurpassed and unequaled as one who prepared for rain. So with that background being said, I want us to think about Noah this morning. I want us to think about everything that we know about him, everything that the Bible says about him. And I believe that there are four lessons that the Scripture tells us that we can take from Noah and apply to our lives. Number one, I want you to notice this, that when Noah was commanded by God to do what he called him to do, that Noah took God at his word. Noah took God at his word. You see, God gave Noah a message that would lead him to a crossroads in life. Let me read for you Genesis 6, 13 through 17. It says, "So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both of them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you're to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens and every creature that has breath of life in it. And everything on earth will perish." Now, can you imagine being Noah at this time when God told him what he needed to do? You know, we got to remember a couple of things. Up until this certain point in time, had it ever rained? No. And here God is telling Noah to build a big boat. And he was specific in his instructions. You know, make it this long and this wide and this high and put a big door on it and make three decks and do everything because God said he was going to destroy the earth by floodwaters. You see, when God gave Noah this command, Noah had to make a choice. And that choice was to whether he's going to take God at his word or not. And I believe that choice comes to every man either to listen or to disregard the message of God. Now, you know what? I think back, and it's easy. I mean, the most obvious thing I can do in my life is to think back to when God called me into the ministry. God gave me a clear calling when I was a senior in high school. And let me tell you this, I had a choice to make. Either listen or run. Now, I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I heard God, but I ran a little bit. You know, I never ran from my belief and my faith in God, but I ran from His calling. And I went through college and I went through a period of time where I could hear God saying what he wanted me to do, but I just wasn't quite ready to do that. And, you know, I believe that we have a choice, that we face a crossroads every day in our life. Because I believe that we have an opportunity or a choice, you know, every morning when God allows us another day of life, we have a choice that we have to make even before our foot hits the floor, getting out of the bed, whether we serve the Lord or not that day. Do we choose to follow the Lord? Do we choose to go our own way? That's a choice that each and every one of us make every day of our life. Now, what is required for taking God at His word? I think there are a couple of things that not only Noah had to think about, to pray about, but it's things that we also have to do the same. Number one, we have to believe. You know what? We're not going to follow God. We're not going to follow the Lord unless we believe in Him. We're not going to have that relationship that God wants us to have, that fellowship with Him, unless we believe. You know, the most important thing that a person can ever do in this lifetime is to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That's the most important thing that, we as God's creation can do. Let me take you back again to Genesis. Do you remember very early in Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, 2, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and it lists all the, you know, everything in creation, and then it says that that God created man from the dust of the ground, and that he breathed the breath of life into him, and that he saw that it was not fit for man to be alone, so he caused man to fall into a deep sleep, and he took a rib from Adam and he fashioned Eve, and so Adam had a companion, Eve, and what was their purpose in the garden? Think about this. They're in the most perfect place. What was their purpose? To fellowship with God. You know what? They had everything they needed. The most important thing they had was their fellowship with God. And you know, I say that to say this, that I believe that you and I were created for one purpose. And one purpose only. And that's the fellowship with God the Father. Now, obviously, we understand that sin entered into the world and that relationship was cut off. But God saw fit that that relationship be reestablished. So he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. You know this. So that that relationship could be reestablished. So what's important for us in taking God as his word? First of all, is we have to believe. We have to have faith. You see, there can't be an ounce of doubt in our mind. What would have happened if Noah would have had 1 ounce of doubt in what God called him to do? Secondly, we have to lay aside normal activities and concentrate on doing what is commanded. Now, here was a man, again, Noah, who was probably up until that day that God specifically told him about the ark, you know, he was doing probably his normal daily routine, whatever that was. And God says, I want you to quit what you're doing, and this is what I want you to do. You see, when we take God at his word, we have to lay aside our normal activities and concentrate on doing what is commanded. Again, I remember in my early life, you know, there was a time in my life when I thought I wanted to be in law enforcement. And you know, I was in college and I was taking classes in criminal justice. And then when I graduated from UGA, one of my first jobs, I was a probation officer. And you know what? I stayed there just a short time because what I thought I was enjoying, it wasn't what God wanted me to do. And you know, I didn't find that peace in my life until I surrendered to the call. You see, when we take God at his word, that's what we do. We surrender to the call of what God would have us to do. Number three, we have to live a life of concentrated preparedness for what God said will come. Proverbs 3:5, you know this verse, it says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. You see, when we take God at his word, we're trusting in him. We're trusting him with our life. And that he's going to do with us what he would have done in our life. Secondly, the second point that I want to make this morning is this. Is that Noah was not deterred by the mockery of others. You see, he didn't let the way that his neighbors were treating him, it didn't deter him from what he was called to do. You see, when the sun was shining, the conduct of Noah must have looked like that of a fool. Here's a man building this big old ark, this big boat, while the sun's shining. And what he was doing must have made him look foolish. You see, the earth had never seen rain. And here was a man who was, you know, building this boat because God told him that the earth would be destroyed by a flood. And this just wasn't a little John boat again. This was a boat that would be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high, and that he was to gather two of every kind of animal to put him on the ark with him. You see, the man, now hear me when I say this, the man who takes God's word may often have to adopt a course of action which looks like madness. You see, sometimes God calls us to do things that other people just don't really understand. And for some people, we may look foolish doing it. One of the hardest challenges, I believe, of a Christian is that we have to be prepared to be a fool for Jesus' sake. Think about that. People are going to laugh. People are going to mock. People who don't understand are going to think that we're foolish in what we're doing. Psalms 1, verses 1 and 2 says this, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." You know what? We live in a society today where it seems to be okay for man to walk in the counsel of the wicked and to sit in the seat of the mockers. And what's not accepted today is to find our delight in the law of the Lord. That's not accepted today. And that's why people look at us and make fun of us and you know, curse us and do everything like that. You see, the wisdom of God is so often foolishness with men. And again, you think about Noah. The sun shining is hot, not a cloud in the sky, and here he is building this big old boat because it's what God has told him to do. Number three, I want you to notice this, that Noah's faith was a judgment on others. That his faith was a judgment on others. You see, Noah was a man of faith. I believe that 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 speaks to this. You know, the faith of men who trust in the Lord. It says, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, and be strong." You see, we've already talked about that Noah's neighbors mocked him because of what he was doing. And in fact, his neighbors had a constant reminder that the flood was on his way. You see, as God had told Noah that the floodwaters were coming as he was building the boat, those neighbors every day, I can just see it in my mind, they just walked right by him looking at that boat, wondering what in the world he was doing. You know what? It was a reminder that the flood was coming. The flood was coming, but what did they do? They knew the truth, but they chose to ignore it. Church, let me remind you of something this morning. Outside of these walls, there's a world out there that's dying and going to hell. And you know, there are people out there who maybe know the truth, but they're ignoring the truth. That's why it is so important for us to knock on a door. If the door gets slammed in our face, we got to go to the house and knock on another door. We got to tell people about Jesus. Because as long as there's a breath in a person's body, there's an opportunity for someone to come and to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. people hear the truth, many people know the truth, but they choose to ignore the truth. For many years, again, put ourselves in Noah's situation. For many years, Noah built and he preached, but people laughed. 1 Peter 3:18 through 20 says this, "For Christ died for the sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built." When one person refuses the truth, he or she stands condemned before God. You know, oh, how I pray every day that the people that God puts in my path will hear the truth and will accept the truth. The last point that I want to bring to you this morning is this, is that Noah was a man who was righteous through his faith. You see, Noah was the first man in the Bible to be called righteous. His goodness consisted in the fact that he took God at his word. And when others turned from God, Noah maintained his obedience and his loyalty. Now again, you know, when I try to imagine the reaction of people when the rain came. And Noah was, you know, his family and the animals and everything that God had told him to do was safe and secure inside of that ark. And we know that the Bible says that the rains came and the floodwaters came and that the corrupt, they were destroyed. And he was a man because of his righteousness and his faith who God saved. Mark 13:13 says this, "He who stands firm to the end will be saved." You see, in an age when men disregarded God, Noah was the supreme reality in the world. You know what? I just believe this morning that God wants us to be the same supreme reality as Noah was. But you know what we have to do? Church, we've got to prepare for rain. You know, God's called us to be in right relationship with Him. And we got to prepare for rain. Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You know what? I feel like I know the heart of your pastor. And I know that Pastor Tim is a pastor who first and foremost loves God. But I know he loves you too. And I know he prays for you. And I know his prayer would be that if you've got any doubt in your mind about if you passed in the next few seconds where you would go, I know that he would want you to make it right. He doesn't want any doubt in your mind. He wants you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt where you will spend eternity. And we know this. We know that the world is teaching us that there are many, many ways to eternity. But you know what? We know the truth. Jesus says, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me." Maybe you're here this morning and maybe in your walk, in your relationship, maybe you've kind of veered off track a little bit. I want you to know this, that God's right here at this very moment wanting you to get back on the right road. Maybe you're here this morning, and I know that there are prayer needs in the life of this church, and those that are spoken, those that are unspoken. And maybe you just need to spend just a little moment, you know, right where you're at, or maybe at this altar, just praying and asking the Lord just to help. Maybe God has spoken to you this morning, has gave you a task. Something to be done that through those who don't believe will seem like foolishness. But it's what God's called you to do. Whatever the situation, whatever the decision that needs to be made, my prayer is this, is in these next few moments that we'll just turn off everything that would hinder us from focusing on anything else other than Him. And that we would focus on what God is calling us to do. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank You for God, Your Word, and we thank You again for the message that You've given us this morning. God, I pray that in these next few moments, as we have a time of decision or of invitation, God, that we would not get in the way of what You would have done. Father, if You're leading people to make a decision to trust in Christ or just to rededicate their life, Lord, or just to come spend time in prayer, Father, let us not hamper what You would have done. Father, we pray that, that God, that we would have the faith, God, that You want us to have, and that there would not be not even an inkling of doubt in our person as to what You would have us to do and our trust and faith in You. Father, this is Your time. God, please move as only You can. Father, I thank You for what You're going to do in these next few moments. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.